back, ladies and gentlemen, to this episode of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. HagmannReport.com. That's the place to go for show information, news information articles. That's HagmannReport.com. Hagmann and Hagmann to watch the show, also to access the various venues in which we're on. Of course, Global Star Radio Network, going to give them a big thank you for carrying our program. That's Global Star Radio Network, and we're joined on that network by so many other luminaries. It's a great network, and thank Todd for all of his hard work in which he broadcasts our show. For the rest of the program, we have got a very special treat for each and every one of you. If you have not heard the name Debbie Bacigalupi, you're going to be very familiar with her now. And I'll tell you something. I had the distinct honor and pleasure, Joe and I did, to speak with her today. This is one heck of an intelligent woman, when it comes to Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, sustainable development topics such as the United Nations Conference on Sustainable Development, the cap and trade stuff, everything that you hear, and everything represented by Hillary, Diane Rodham, the witch Clinton, yes, I said it now, everything that she represents is what Debbie Bacigalupi is an expert on. And she is the most articulate, well-researched. As far as I'm concerned, she should be an investigator or could be an investigator, credentialed investigator, because of the in-depth research in which she has conducted. She's a in-demand speaker. Folks, if you want her as a speaker, she's available for that, interviews and such. I mean, well worth the time and money, believe me. And she's a beautiful young lady as well. And I say that sincerely, inside and out. And there's a story behind that too, which we're going to get into later. She's the daughter of a California cattle rancher, and a cattle rancher herself, and just a wonderful, delightful young lady, and we're so pleased to have her with us. Before we get to her, however, remember yesterday, did you catch the hour that we spent with Alex Wilson? Oh, I hope you did. PreciousTimber.com. Folks, go to Hagmann Report and click on the link to PreciousTimber.com. Timber is the billionaire's secret to low-risk, high-return investments. You can stop the worry, stop the risk, stop losing money on low-return investments. Alex Wilson was talking about 14% returns on investments. My goodness. Growing investor interest is driving competition, folks, for tropical hardwoods. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater, and direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to long-term accredited investors. Now, note I said long-term accredited investors. This is not for everybody. However, when stocks and real estate crash, of course, trees continue to grow, and they provide unbeatable diversification for your portfolio. The prime valuable tropical hardwood plots are now available close to the Costa Rica border. Learn how money really does grow on trees, and I laugh at that, but it's true. I mean, you talk about a long-term growth of your investments. Qualified accredited investors, folks, should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com. That's PreciousTimberProfits.com. Or call 855-888-6288 for more information. Or simply go to HagmannReport.com and click on the link. It's PreciousTimber.com or PreciousTimberProfits.com. Profits.com. Alex Wilson is the guy to talk to if you, and they're building, look, they're building libraries, subsidizing and building schools in Nicaragua. It's tough for me to say words sometimes. Near Costa Rica. I mean, they are doing such a great job. That's Alex Wilson at Precious Timber. Profits.com. Joe?
All right, we're going to bring on our guest who will be with us for the rest of the show, Miss Debbie Bacigalupi, Agenda 2030, and senior editor for technocracy.news, Patrick Woods' website. And Patrick's been a guest on our show. He has the book Technocracy Rising, which is a fantastic read. Debbie, welcome to the Hagman & Hagman Report.
Hi, how are you today?
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Thanks for joining us.
And we
hope, and you know, I'm gun shy of correctly pronouncing your name. Bacigalupi is how you pronounce your last name, correct? I got that right.
Yes.
Didn't I?
Yes, okay. You got that so right.
All right. And folks, and as Joe said, her bio can be found, of course, at technocracy.news, and just go to the bio page, about page, and of course you'll see her picture there under senior editor. Debbie, how in the world did you get involved in Agenda 21 research, Agenda 2030 research? How'd you get involved in all of this?
You mentioned, or it was mentioned, that I am a researcher. That has, I think, always been in my nature. I was raised by a cattle rancher, yes, but a father who always had safety in mind first. So, for example, if we went on vacation and we came back home, the first thing that my dad did, he didn't grab, you know, the luggage to help us carry the luggage inside the house. Instead, he went straight into the house and started investigating to see if there was anybody in the house or anything missing, because for my dad, safety and his family was first. With that in mind, my sisters and I could never get away with lying to my dad, because he would always find out everything. And we're like, how does he find out this stuff? So I think I learned at a very early age that truth and honesty matter. And that if you know that someone's not telling you the truth, then you investigate if it's important to you. And the truth really matters to me. And as a cattle rancher's daughter, we started noticing on our ranch and other ranches and farms in California that our way of life, which I would describe as nothing fantastic, nothing except for fantastic in that you love the land and you don't want to be, you know, you just want to be left alone. You don't want to bother anybody. You want to provide byproducts of, you know, livestock or timber, eggs, whatever it is that your family or your farm produces to maintain that lifestyle and also give back to society in a nutrient dense way, in a way that provides not only value to the land but also value to the people. Because what farmer or rancher is going to want to destroy their land? Is going to harm their livestock if that's your survival mechanism, your way to make money, your way to earn money and stay on the land? So we started noticing where fish and game departments, now they're all called fish and wildlife for the most part, departments started making up new rules for private property. Things like something called the incidental take permit. And without going into too much detail, things that would allow these bureaucracies, these agencies, most of them unelected, most of them self-appointed by government, and they would give themselves these reasons, whether it was the Endangered Species Act or the Clean Water Act or the Clean Air Act, to come on your land and say it's for one thing. For example, we want you to go along with this new regulation, farmer, rancher. And you're going, wait a minute, that does not make sense. And, oh, by the way, if we sign on to this new regulation, which is not, you know, is unconstitutional, it's not a law, but they're coming on and saying, we need to regulate your water for a fingerling fish called the coho salmon, even though it never existed on your property. We, the bureaucracy, are now saying that that fish could survive on the stream that runs through your property. So this is happening all over, whether it's the coho salmon or some three-legged, yellow-eyed, pink haired frog or whatever. And so we started noticing just the encroachment on our property, our water. And so at one point, I remember just going, something's not right here. And I did this mad dash and started researching and what could be happening, because we're good people. And why did the Fish and Game show up on my parents' property armed and flank my parents, game wardens who have known my parents for, you know, tens of years, all of a sudden come on and, you know, armed and vested, bulletproof vested, flanked my parents on either side saying, why aren't you signing on to this incidental take permit process? And my parents were just like, what is going on here? So we knew that something was just not quite right. Now, nothing else happened after that except for my parents and many other ranchers in and farmers within Siskiyou County, so Northern California, said, we are not going to sign on to this new regulation that you want to put and impose upon us ranchers and farmers and our water and the streams and the rivers that run through our property. One, it's illegal, and two, it gives up our freedom, our privacy. It gives you a pass to come onto our property anytime you want. So my parents, with other ranchers and farmers, started standing up and saying, we're not falling into this trap. We will not do it. So from there, we started researching, like, what in the heck is going on? Like, why all of a sudden are we feeling like we're the enemy and these game wardens feel like they need to come flanked and get or come armed and in bulletproof vests? It was like, it was shocking. So I started researching and I stumbled upon three videos, and one was from a man named Lord Christopher Monckton, and he's out of London, and it was just an old video. I remember he was walking around this room, and it was not a high, it was just very low quality. But there was something about the information that he was talking about that I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds just like what we're experiencing, this, you know, attack on private property. And he mentioned something called Agenda 21, and it sounded a little bit crazy. And but then I looked up Agenda 21, and I found a video by a friend of mine now, and a very good friend of Patrick Woods, and it was Michael Shaw. And he was talking about Agenda 21 and Santa Cruz. So here Christopher Monckton is talking in London, and it sounded familiar, but oh my gosh, now it's getting closer to home. And so out of Santa Cruz is this speaker talking about Agenda 21 and the attack on private property rights. And although the agenda sounded so surreal and impossible and it could never happen here in the United States, I was starting to see it firsthand, you know, creep into Northern California. And then the third video I saw, which is very important to me, is about food and our and food freedom. And it was a video about Codex Alimentarius. And it was a doctor named Dr. Rima. And she was talking about how one day soon, by the way, this is all right around the year 2000, I would say 2007, 2008. So I'm relatively new to, Patrick's been involved in this for, you know, a good 20, 30 years now, but I'm relatively new when it comes to the battle for freedom and liberty. I've been busy trying to make a career for myself, but which I've put on hold for right now, because I think freedom and liberty are way more important than the careers that I was going after at the time I started discovering everything. But so Codex Alimentarius is all about food law and Roman food law, and going back to when kings and rulers wanted to rule the entire food system. And this doctor was saying, it is in Congress right now. It is in, this food law is in the United States right now. And there will be a day when you will have to get a prescription for vitamin C. You will only be able to get it in low doses. And you're going to have, everything is going to be, you know, monitored, surveilled. And you're only going to be given, you know, your certain allotment. And that sounded a bit crazy too. But when I looked at what all the common things were about these three different speakers, they all went back to the United Nations. Every single speaker spoke about how the United Nations was behind all of this. And at that time, I was also working for Google as a corporate event planner. And I was responsible for not only the 2008 presidential candidates coming to Google to speak, including Barack Hussein Obama, but also I was responsible for all the speakers who came in, whether it was Ben and Jerry of Ben and Jerry's Ice Cream, or Jane Fonda coming in, or Maria Shriver, or Barack Hussein Obama, Hillary Clinton. I was responsible for all of those speakers coming in. And
yeah, Debbie, I just want to interject something here and just reinforce this with our listening audience, because you were, you held amazingly important positions in the private sector, very well compensated, very high profile positions in the private sector that gave you allowed you to rub elbows, so to speak, with these luminaries, I guess, for better or for worse, nonetheless. But I guess what's important for me to tell the audience here is you gave up all of that, willingly gave it up, I suspect willingly at least, to go after, to search, to root out the truth behind these nefarious plans. And again, at the core of this is Agenda 21, so your sacrifice for the truth, getting the truth out there for your position today, was a huge financial sacrifice, right? I mean, I don't want that understated at all.
Thank you.
You know.
Yeah,
okay.
It was. And, to the point where, you know, even running for Congress, I paid, you know, most of my way. I didn't fundraise very much, but I definitely funded my own campaign. And that's because I just didn't want to be bought and sold. I did not want to be, you know, I think there's something in us that it's written on our heart, right from wrong. And the more I discovered about this evil plot, this evil plan, this evil agenda called Agenda 21, which was the agenda for the 21st century, the more I saw how evil was at play, even at my work, even for the events that I was doing for Google. And as I started, and thanks for pointing that out. And since then, I'm working, you know, I work for the Doctors Who Created Proactive. I work from home a couple hours a week and with Rodan and Fields. I love it. It's becoming more of a focus because it's such a positive energy, and it's taking away from me away from the negativity of what's happening in America right now. And I think we need that balance. I think we need a balance. And I have been way too far in the weeds and the, you know, being a Debbie Downer in the world of this globalization and moving us into a global citizenship. And where it got really tough for me at Google, and especially as a rancher's daughter, is hearing these talkers come in, whether it was Ben and Jerry, or it was Jane Fonda, or it was Hillary Clinton, coming in and starting to talk about, you know, sustainability and how farmers and how especially ranchers with our cattle are so bad to the environment. So you put all those things together, and I became a mad researcher, researching all night. There would be days that I would not sleep because I had to get to the bottom of this. And then I found myself going to conferences. I had to go, you know, I registered, whether it was the United Nations Rio Earth Summit in 2012 or just this past year, almost a year ago now, the Paris Agreement, the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change, and the International Panel on Climate Change Conference called the Paris Agreement. By the way, America signed on to all of these things, all of them. We are part of this agenda. It is not voluntary. We are in it, and we are in it for the long haul unless people rise now. If we wait for this election and Hillary Clinton is president, it's a done deal. She is sustainable development from here to the moon and back again. And so, you know, this election is important, as crazy as it is. But if we don't stop this, if we don't stop it now, we can no longer wait, you guys. We can't.
Yeah, as Donald Trump may say or might say, these are bad deals for America and for Americans or for anyone in the West, any free person. And now you mentioned too about farms and about farmland, but folks, this will affect people in urban areas, in the cities. It's not just about farmland, although that's a big portion. I mean, Agenda 21, 2030, this will affect every living human being on the planet, and it will subjugate us. And you're correct in stating that this is, and I guess I would put it as, and correct me if this is wrong, but, a Clinton candidacy and a Clinton presidency, God forbid, would open this Trojan horse of subjugation of the free people under this pretext of sustainable development. Oh, it's great for Mother Earth, the ecology, environment, and so on. I mean, this is such a huge Trojan horse that is being delivered by Clinton and the company. Is that a true statement?
Oh, for sure. For okay. sure. Patrick just posted on technocracy.news the video I was talking about of Hillary Clinton in 2012 when I was at the Rio Earth Summit. And she says in this video, I hope I can get it as close to what I remember it being. It used to be in my presentation, and I think I'm going to start adding it back into my presentation. But she said, about sustainable development or about development, that sustainable development is the only development for the 21st century. So we are to, and sustainable development, as your listeners, they are very smart. They are very in tune. When your listeners hear the word sustainability or sustainable development, already they're thinking, oh my goodness, United Nations Agenda 21. Because that is, sustainable development was coined by the United Nations and the Gro Harlem Brundtland Commission back, you know, in the late 1980s and promulgated in 1992 at the first Rio Earth Summit that was in Brazil. And then that's when, at the Rio Earth Summit in 1992, was when they announced sustainable development to the world as the agenda for the 21st century, hence United Nations Agenda 21 Sustainable Development. That is its full, you know, name. So there's nothing that they're hiding in there, and there's nothing that they haven't been hiding in there except for what the true definition of sustainable development is. And they make it sound, it's not real cut and clear what the definition means. So at first, it sounds like, yeah, well, maintaining, you know, our resources so that all of us can, you know, meet our basic needs, but that, you know, that the basic needs of future generations would also be met. But who is describing what basic needs are? So you have to now get into their documents and get into, go to their meetings to find out what they're actually talking about, which takes research and it takes time. But luckily you have books like Patrick's Technocracy Rising, where Patrick and, you know, just a couple hundred pages explains exactly what's happening in this, you know, scientific dictatorship that we are living in. I've read thousands of documents. I've spent thousands of hours going to meetings or reading documents and diving in, trying to figure out what they're up to for the 21st century. And something that Patrick Wood, Technocracy Rising and Technocracy.news author and founder, started saying to me was, you know, Debbie, Agenda 21 is not the end game. And I'm like, sure it is, Patrick. I've done all this research. It definitely is. I've gone to all their conferences. It definitely is. And he said, nope, it's not. One day I was going to a doctor. I had some lower back pains, probably because I spend so much time in front of my computer and reading these documents that I have lower back pains now. So I'm at this doctor who's working on my back, and I ask him about, has he ever heard of United Nations Agenda 21? Because he's asking, why is my back so bad? And I said, well, I'm a researcher and an investigator. And he says, well, what do you research? What do you investigate? And I said, Agenda 21, have you ever heard of it? He says, no. I said, have you ever heard of the United Nations? He says, oh, sure. He says, I used to be a survivalist. And he said, I used to go to all these gun shows, and I would prep, and I'd have, you know, my food stored. And in his office are crosses and Bibles everywhere. And so he says to me, you know, Debbie, if you look around, and this is where it hit me, what Patrick has been saying, what I've been studying, and it all came together with what Albert, is his name, said to me after he said, you know, Debbie, if you look around, you see people bowing their head to the God of technology. And I said, well, and I knew exactly what he meant. He meant our cell phones. He meant our smartphones. That if you look around, everyone, people are connected through technology. We are all connected. It's like these cell phones, these smartphones rule our lives. And what I saw there was,
Debbie,
in just, yeah.
We're coming up against a segment break. We're going to pick up right where we just left off. The fact that everybody carries around a cell phone that is connected, they're all connected to each other, and the implications that, carrying around this technology has. So folks, you're listening to Debbie Bacigalupi, Agenda 2030 on this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Stay with us.
Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report. Wow, what a great guest we've got. Debbie Bacigalupi. She is the senior editor at technocracy.news with Patrick Wood there. She's an expert on Sustainable Development Agenda 21. The larger picture here, what this Trojan horse of subjugation is, and who the rider of that horse, Hillary Clinton, and of course the globalist, communist globalist, to bring this in, to subjugate all of us listening. If you're listening to this program, you will be affected by this without fail. And of course, our commitment to our audience is to bring the best, the most knowledgeable guests on a matter. And of course, that is Debbie Bacigalupi. And folks, you can go to HagmanReport.com or under the show description. Make sure you seek her out in Facebook, on Facebook. Follow her on Facebook, folks. You've got to do that to get the latest updates. That's you just go to the HagmanReport.com or the show description and find her on Facebook. It's Debbie Bacigalupi, of course, and she's got all of the information that's important on this matter. This is a long-term effective. This is our objective. This is what we're seeing playing out in real time, of course. I want to mention this as well. We're getting a lot of emails on this, folks. We are well aware that Putin had ordered all Russian children and relatives, students were studying abroad, to return to Russia. The Sun is reporting this. Zero Hedge reported on this as well. This move comes after Moscow held defense drills for just a whole bunch of their people in Moscow. Now, we know that those are not out of the ordinary necessarily. It's however, the collective, in the aggregate, all of this combined, along with the actions of the United States and NATO and in Syria, and what's taking place in Syria, is disconcerting, to say the least. And then you've got rumblings of China. So we are well aware of everything that's taking place. We're on top of this. So watch, and folks, bookmark HagmanReport.com, because we're going to be addressing this in greater detail outside of, of course, this program. So having said that, Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you.
Before the break, Debbie was talking about the increase in technology pertaining to cell phones, and you know, we see the Obama phone program. It seems that everybody has a cell phone, which is convenient and needed at times to have that line of communication right there by you. But at the same time, it's being used as a double-edged sword.
Absolutely.
And we don't know all the ways that we are being taken advantage of while we have these devices on it. Debbie, go ahead and continue your thought that you were saying just before the break.
Yeah, so Patrick Wood kept telling me that the end game is not Agenda 21. And remember, I said, no, it is, because I had done all the research. I'd gone to their conferences. I know exactly what this big plan is. So when this doctor said, you know, he said to me, if you look around, people are bowing their head to the god of technology. And I said, well, Albert, what is the god of technology? And he said, well, Satan, of course. And he said, if you look around, you'll see a family at a restaurant, for example, and they're at a table, and it looks like they're down praying, right? They've got their heads down, and they're praying about their meal and giving thanks to God and Jesus Christ. And he said, and if you look closely, they're all on their cell phones. So you see this breakdown of communication and of people being together. You know, we've got all these advanced technologies where we don't even have to see one another anymore. And so, in my opinion, you see the breakdown of society. And you also see, at the same time, people relying on their phones for everything, whether it's to, you know, buy your groceries and now or get yourself on an airplane. All you need now is your cell phone. And in fact, even the globalists told us that. My former boss, Eric Schmidt of Google, now and also the CEO of a new company called Alphabet, which I found very interesting. Alphabet, A to Z, and Google means infinity. So many people who know about Agenda 21 know how much Google is to play a part in controlling, monitoring, and surveilling all aspects of life on Earth, even down to the depths of the ocean, right? There was a recent conference that Eric Schmidt was speaking at. It was the Millikan Global Conference. It was held in April. It was held in Los Angeles. And what I found astonishing, of course I wanted to go to this conference because Al Gore was going to be there. The United Nations was going to be there. Movie stars, Leonardo DiCaprio, Tom Hanks, all these people going to this great big conference that was a conference about where the world is heading. But of course, you know, someone like me who pays for everything on her own and it, you know, doesn't have this great big income anymore, the least expensive ticket for a single person was $12,500. $12,500 for a two-day conference in Los Angeles. The highest ticket per person, so then there was a $15,000 and then a $25,000 entry fee, which says to me that this conference is not available to the average person, like most of them. It is only available to the elite, the global elite, who are going along with this agenda. Eric Schmidt, my former boss, said in his lunchtime speech that we will be relying on our phones for everything. He said there will be a day. So not only did Google say, you know, we will be able to predict what you're going to be thinking next. They've been working on that for a while now, and they're doing a pretty darn good job. He also said there will be a day very soon where your cell phone will be able to tell when you're sick, if you're hurt, and then make the necessary call to get you the help you need. These smartphones are not making us more intelligent. They are making us more reliable on a massive system where we're all connected. So if you are now, your life depends on this technology. Patrick said to me, Debbie, the end game is not Agenda 21. It's technocracy, a scientific dictatorship, artificial intelligence. We are moving vastly into a computerized world where climate change is not based on you and I going and observing the Antarctic or the Arctic with our own two eyes and our hands and our, you know, and our skin to feel, is it really warming? Are the glaciers really melting? Are the polar bears really disappearing? No, we're relying on computer modeling systems. And just like Obama said, the science is settled. Any scientist would never, ever say the science is settled. Their job's over, and science is constantly changing. Things are constantly moving. Air is constantly, you know, rotating. Trees have a shelf life. People have a shelf life. Things change. We find new technologies, new materials, new things for different, you know, for cows to, you know, create byproducts, or to be another byproduct of. So when we hear the science is settled, what they're trying to say to us is, don't worry your pretty little head, you little peasants, because science is settled. We don't need your observation. This is the way the world is going, and if you disagree, you will be punished, and we are seeing that now. So
yeah.
Patrick was right. We are moving into technocracy, a scientific dictatorship. Agenda 21, the 2030 agenda, Habitat 3, are simply stepping stones into this scientific dictatorship.
And Debbie, how many times have you seen this? And I've seen this on my own computer. You know, when you might be having a conversation with somebody, your wife, your family, talking about, you know, going to buy something from groceries or, you know, whatever it is, you'll then see ads pop up on your computer relating to things that, you know, people had just recently talked about or you recently talked about. I've been seeing that a lot lately. And we've seen the James Comey, the director of the FBI, talks about putting electrical tape over the camera hole on your computer. Well, you know, all the phones today have cameras also. And we've seen U.S. intelligence sources and other government officials talk about the ability to spy on you through your TV, through appliances in your home. And so it doesn't go beyond the imagination that, you know, the cell phones would fall into those categories. And, yeah, we do see this push for a scientific dictatorship and this, you know, global socialist, communist, totalitarian system that we see being implemented. And it is shocking and alarming to see the rate at which people are becoming accustomed to using this technology. And if we don't, you know, continue to stop, we're looking at on the cashless society, microchips, or some sort of labeling system that will category all, you know, human beings on Earth, which can be linked to the Mark of the Beast in the Bible when they roll out their final system on this. And it's very scary to see the level of influence that the scientific dictatorship already has in our life today.
Yeah. Well, and we are agreeing to this. If you use Gmail or Facebook or your smartphone, you're always agreeing to the updates. So in my opinion, what is the price of convenience? What is the price of quote-unquote efficiency? What liberties, what freedoms are we giving up and agreeing to give up for the sake of convenience? So it becomes a very slippery slope. There are lots of great things that you can do from your cell phone, but there's a lot of data mining going on as well. And do we give up that personal, that privacy, you know, that for convenience? And you know, I'm not saying stop using your cell phone, because there's no way I'm going to stop using my cell phone. But what I am saying is we have to be aware of our surroundings. We have to be aware of what's going on. And we have to know when to rise up together. And I think now is the time to say we are not going to go along with these global plans. And the first way that we could do this is make sure that Hillary Rodham Clinton, thug, thief, liar, cheat, you name it, does not get elected to the highest office of the land, actually of the world. So once she, if she becomes president, if she, I fear every aspect of our future, every aspect. But I have a feeling. Yeah, and you know, I don't know the outcome. I don't know the outcome, but you can rest assured that between now and, what is it, November 8th that we're voting this year?
Yep.
Whatever the date is, that there is going to be a lot of dirty things that come out on both sides. And after this election, if Hillary Clinton is president, we are moving fast towards a scientific dictatorship, technocracy, Agenda 21, sustainable development. And if Trump wins, I can promise you that more and more people are not going to run for office, because how far will these creeps go back? All of us have our own little skeletons in our own little closets that we're embarrassed about, or that we, you know, shouldn't have done. And how far back are these people going to go to ruin our lives, especially when they have all this data on us? So no matter what way you look at it, in a world of freedom and liberty that the United States was to be, we were to be that country that represented individualism and exceptionalism, and all lives matter, and everyone's equal. And if you, you know, that you could be an American, you can do anything you want with a moral compass, which is the liberty aspect of our country. You know, it's freedom plus morality. So you can do whatever you want with a moral compass, but now we're looking at an America where you can't drive this, you can't live there, you can't have a single family home because it's unsustainable. You must live in a high density mega region like the One Bay Area or the Plan 2040 or Thrive 2055 if you're back east. You must live in a high-density, multi-mixed-use space. You must bike, walk, or take public transportation everywhere you go. You must reduce your carbon footprint. You must reduce your food consumption and your buying consumption. You must move away from eating cattle and livestock and beef meat protein towards beetle protein, beetle flour. This is no joke. So we're living where we, you know, where our grandparents grew up in American. We are now facing being Americans. And it's just, it's devastating and sad, to say the very least, that we did this. I believe we did this to ourselves.
Absolutely. And if we could go on another path here, when you were talking in the last segment about the encroachment of the federal government into the farming and ranching communities, I wanted to ask you about the, you know, projects of UNESCO and eminent domain, and how these two different powers, and one the UN power and the tactic of eminent domain, are being used against people to gather up private property for federal use. And is that federal use that they're using the land for actually the stated purpose? Are they using it as they are stating the reasons that they're, you know, mostly for to save, you know, they say they're going to save landmarks and forests and whatnot in order to continue to maintain healthy environment. How are they using the UNESCO World Heritage Sites and eminent domain to further this agenda?
Well, sure, they're using different tactics, whether it's the Endangered Species Act or the Clean Water or the Clean Air Act, to limit what one can and cannot do on their own property. If you look up, I like I mentioned, I go to quite a different kinds of and of conferences, whether it's United Nations or the Western Governors Association or U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to protest or make public comment against introducing Canadian and Mexican gray wolves into the United States. Now we're having an introduction of grizzly bears. So, you can look up the Y2Y, which is Yellowstone to Yukon. It's a wildlife corridor. It used to be Yucatan to Yukon, which would be Mexico all the way up to Canada, as a wildlife corridor, one of the which protected, right? So limited to no human use because it's reserved, conserved for just these wildlife, these predators that they're introducing. Now, somebody might say introducing, Yeah, if you look at some of the wolves, if you look at some of the grizzly bears, if you look at some of the elk or the deer, they're tagged, they're collared, especially the wolves. Why? Because we're introducing them, and the government, the federal government, needs to measure them, watch them grow, see if they're surviving, and also to make sure that they're not being killed. So if you can imagine, you know, a wolf shows up on your property, starts killing your cows, your livestock, your horses, your whatever. In California now, because they're protected, because we need to protect landscape, not people, but landscape. So this is one of the tactics they're using to take land or to control land more, I would say more accurately. So if you shoot that wolf in California, it comes down from Oregon or it comes up from Mexico, and you get caught because, you know, it's collared and it dies on your land, you can get a $100,000 fine and something like 10 years in jail. It's unreal what's happening. So now all of a sudden the wolf has more private property rights than you do. They can murder, they can steal from your land, and they can cause you to manage your land differently. For example, now, if our cows die, we can't go put, you know, put our cow somewhere, our dead cow that's old and she just got old and she died. We can't take her out to the outskirts of our property to feed, you know, rodents and whatever else like we used to, ranchers and farmers used to, because we believe in wildlife too. Now you have to bury that animal in California, because if you don't, it may attract wolves, and then you've got a landscape problem. You've got the, you know, now the federal government coming on your land and saying, wait a minute, this wolf, its natural migration was through your property. So now we need to protect your property because the wolf is endangered and threatened. This is the tactics that they're using. It's unreal. Another thing that they use is what's called monumentalization, and Obama has been doing a lot of monumentalization. In fact, I think it was in 2014 in his State of the Union. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that was the year. He had expressed that over the past 6 years is what he said, we've done more than ever to combat climate change, from the way we produce energy to the way we use it. That's why we've set aside more public lands and waters than any administration in history. So under climate change, right, that's another tactic that they're using to take the land out of the use of the private sector, the individual, and hand it over either to the federal government, the EPA, the U.S. Forest Service, whatever, the Bureau of Land Management. I'm sorry, I'm talking so fast. This stuff makes me so mad. Or UNESCO. So under the Heritage Program, they can take like the Alamo. Why the Alamo in Texas? Well, it's a cultural site. And the United Nations is all about preserving cultures. What kind of cultures? Mostly Native American cultures, indigenous cultures, but not as much white European cultures, because it's actually the white Europeans who have caused, you know, are responsible for development, are responsible for, you know, taking us into the 21st century where we build things and we have single family homes and we build businesses and we use resources from the earth. So they use a variety of ways to restrict us. It could be an endangered species. It could be, there's a story about a farmer in Wyoming. I had the pleasure of meeting him at another conference that I was invited to speak at. And Andy Johnson's a young guy. He and his wife have four young girls, and they built a stock pond. They would describe their home in the middle of Wyoming as in the middle of nowhere. I think the population was like 300 people in their hometown. And so he would describe himself as a nobody and a farmer and a rancher, kind of like I would describe myself as. And so he got all the proper permits from the state of Wyoming to put in a stock pond. It wasn't huge, but it was, you know, big enough that he could have a dock and they could fish in it. And the stock pond was a little creek ran through their property, and then the little creek now would go into his stock pond, and then it would go out the other end and into another canal, and then eventually into a dam, I think a lake, a reservoir, man-made reservoir. And so they did water quality studies, and they showed that the water coming into his stock pond was clean, was dirtier than the water going out. So the water quality actually benefited by him putting in the stock pond. Well, all of a sudden, they get a knock on the door. This is a very recent story. This was going on in 2014. They get a knock on the door, and it's the EPA. And the EPA, and they're a nice little, you know, country Christian family, and they invite them in, and that's number one no-no. Because once you invite these agencies in, they start looking around, and they start looking for more, you know, for violations of every which kind you can ever imagine. So they're data collecting. They're data mining. And so anyway, what eventually happened was they get a letter saying that you are in violation of the Clean Water Act. So it was the EPA sent them a letter, you are in violation of the Clean Water Act, and you will be charged, I think it was something like $16,000 per day. The bill got up, or no, it was $32,000 a day. And eventually the bill got up to something like $16 million. You are, you're going to be charged $32,000 a day until you return the pond, the land back to the way you found it. And he's like, wait a minute, we had all the permits. So anyway, they finally let Pacific Legal Foundation picked up this, picked up his case, and they ended up winning. But could you imagine for, I think it was, two or three years every day going, we didn't do anything wrong. This is our own land, our own private property. We are making the water quality better. We're providing our own water for our own livestock so we can, you know, take care of ourselves. But you're hearing more and more stories like that, or somebody collecting rainwater, and now all of a sudden they're faced with some kind of charge. Or in where my parents are, there's a fifth generation family, ranching family, who was responsible for a diversion. In other words, we divert water. We've done that in California ever since California, you know, put itself on the map. Our ability to divert water in a state that is arid, that is desert, has created a state that is the breadbasket of the United States of America. We provide all sorts of food, from nuts to fruits to meat and wheat and everything in between, to the entire United States and then even beyond. The only way we're able to do that is to divert water, man-made canals. Well, there's a diversion, and as a rancher, what most ranchers do is what you call flood irrigation. So you have diversion.
I gotta stop you right here. Wow, I mean, and this is an important point. We're approaching the break here. I don't want to cut you off, but because this is so important for people to understand what you're saying right here. So we're gonna pick this up after this break. Wow, the information you are providing to us, to our listeners, is so critical, so crucial. Deconstructing Agenda 21, I'll just say this very quickly. The Daily Beast, I think it was back 2 or 3 years ago, talked about Agenda 21, the UN conspiracy that just won't die. Folks, it won't die because it's true, and the expert on Agenda 2030, Agenda 21, this UN agenda is with us tonight. Stay right where you're at, folks. We'll be right back.